is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Nature's Pavilion. Nature's Pavilion is a natural food market and vitamin shop located at 564 Route 23 in North Pompton Plains, New Jersey. You can go to their website to get tons of information on a healthy lifestyle by visiting www.naturespavilion.net. Again, that's www.naturespavilion.net today.
Breaking news from the medical world. Ancient Orchestra by Tom Casella has been recommended by medical doctors for the effective treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder and chronic pain relief. This is the world's first medical doctor-recommended sound healing album ever created. Ancient Orchestra is a safe, natural, and effective alternative sound healing treatment for those in pain, mentally or physically. Learn more and sample free at ancientorchestra.com. Ancient Orchestra has been called the most powerful healing music ever created and recommended by massage therapists, chiropractors, yoga, Reiki, and meditation masters, ministers, teachers, and medical doctors worldwide for effective and enhanced treatment. Please find all Ancient Orchestra albums on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, YouTube, and digital streaming services worldwide, plus ancientorchestra.com.
Welcome back to autismradio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back in another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on with us today. We have a great show for everybody today. We're going to first go back to a story that we covered just the other day about how the CDC rates have increased with diagnosed children with autism. Right now, you know, this was a hot topic. We did a show. We got a ton of feedback about this, and there was also a couple of new articles that came out recently about it. But right now, in the United States, it's 1 out of 45 children being diagnosed with autism, and their ages were between 3 and 17, and this was just the new statistics that were released by the CDC. The Centers of Disease Control and Prevention attributes the significant jump in autism rates on a new format of the survey, and they asked parents about autism before asking them if their child had another developmental delay. In other words, what they did was they change in the order of the questions in the survey because they say it may have influenced parents to more likely report the words autism.
Okay.
So they said, regardless of the revised question and ordering, the rates of autism have continued to increase dramatically during the past three decades. Now, these are statistics that just that are, you know, on the CDC website. And it goes back to the 1980s. In the 1980s, there were two studies from 1987 to 1989 that found 1 in 2,500 to 3,000 children had autism.
Okay. Wow.
In the year 2000, the American Academy of Neurology and Child Neurology Society estimated 1 in 500 in the United States children had autism.
Uh-huh.
That's a significant jump right there from the 80s to the 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you had 2003, which is the year my son's born, and 2004 study revealed 1 in 188 children had autism. 2007, the CDC reported that it was 1 out of 150 children had autism. In 2009, they reported 1 out of 110 had autism. And that's funny because, Lynn, in 2009 is when Autism Radio officially began as a nonprofit 501c3. So I remember looking at our first literature, which doesn't seem that long ago, but it is quite a while ago now.
Right, yeah.
It was 1 out of 110, okay? Now, in 2012, it was 1 in 88, okay? And I remember when that came out, we talked about it on the program.
Yeah, I remember that, too.
And now, in 2014, it was 1 out of 68, okay? And here we are in 2015, getting ready to kick off 2016, and the numbers are now 1 in 45.
Right.
In the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a significant, significant increase.
Insane.
It is. And, you know, this was the thing. We talked about it the other day, and we were, you know, not to reiterate the whole conversation, but, you know, we can't help but not talk about this again because so many families have wrote in about this. I mean, we had so many replies to that show and that topic. And also multiple articles have come out. And in fact, it's even been on the news since we talked about it, even more so now. And people, you know, they go back to the different things. Like we talked about this. They talk about vaccinated, non-vaccinated. They, you know, all these things get stirred up again every time they talk about rates of autism. But what we don't talk about, and I think it's really important, that sometimes I think we overestimate what normal is, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think that? Do you ever think that?
I do. Mm-hmm.
You know, because not every child, you know, might have the words autism. And that's I think this is the problem, is that the terminology autism has such a broad spectrum.
Right. We talked about that, too.
And you know, so this goes back to the same thing we spoke about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, parents, like I had one parent, her name was Jan. She wrote in that, you know, her son can't speak, and she says, you know, yes, there are people like Temple Grandin who are very gifted and autistic, but there's many children that are nonverbal, that are unable to connect with their peers or even family, who have seizures, who cannot feed themselves, who are still in diapers their whole lives, pound their heads into the floor and the walls, and the parents can't hold them back, and there's so much pain and suffering going on with her family she's talking about in particularly, and she feels like, you know, they get ignored a little bit because they're worried about the label instead of trying to get the bottom of the epidemic that's really decimating so many families. And they feel like it's a little irresponsible and selfish to some people, you know, that, you know, there's some people that, you know, say autism is a good thing. So
I think, I mean, you and I have spoken about our kids being very severe. And I think from the very beginning with me, that has been my pet peeve, because people will say to me, and you we've talked about this too, oh, you know, your child's going to be fine, they're going to get early intervention, blah, 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 I know so-and-so is doing fine, you know, and then the severe side of the spectrum, and I had said this about, you know, so many times, that we get ignored so much, and people don't know that this is something that it affects your life every single day, and you're not, you know, you're the primary caregiver. It's constant stress. It's different from a child that is higher. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I'm not saying it's not stressful because I'm friends with a lot of parents who have higher functioning kids that have a lot of struggles too.
Of course.
So it's not. We're not saying it's not stressful. And you know, you really can't compare. But on the other hand, the severe side, it really is. You know, it's a question of whether this child is going to be able to function in society even, or be able to even do anything on his or her own. You know, it's very scary.
I mean, you know, like, you know, someone like ourselves, like, you know, we're happy if our son can brush his teeth by himself, you know, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about somebody who goes to college and you know, like the Kerry Magros of the world and, you know, Dr. Stephen Shore and all these individuals that are, you know, so successful in the autism community. You know, there's a big, big difference between, you know, them and some of our children. I think that's the whole thing. You know, we had one mom one time, you know, tell me that autism was a blessing. Now, she was diagnosed with autism, and she's a very successful writer, publisher, you know, and, you know, she goes in her book, she actually wrote a book about that, and it talks about her journey. And then she had some social challenges and some major difficulty, you know, growing up as a child. And a lot of struggles, but yet, you know, now she looks at her autism, or she calls herself an Aspie, as a blessing. So, you know, there's different views on it, and I think that's where the confusion lies, is that there's different levels of autism, and that's the problem, is that, you know, when you meet one child with autism, you met one child with autism, and this is a big problem with the stigma with autism, mm-hmm. I think, you know?
Yeah. It's funny that you were talking about this, because we were looking at baby videos of my son when he was really little, and, you know, looking back, and I was telling my babysitter at the time, I said, you know, he looked completely, like, how would I know? He was sorting toys as, like, a, I don't know, 18 months or something like that, and, you know, taking toys in and out of a basket. Okay, any typical kid would be doing that. You know, so, I mean, it's hard to tell at that age how severe he's going to be or what's going to happen with him. I didn't even know, obviously, that anything was wrong with him, because he's playing. It's really hard to judge a baby or, you know, a 12, you know, and I think even today it's probably very hard sometimes. If I would have known then that he was going to be, you know, I had no idea, you know. I was shocked when they diagnosed him, totally shocked. And like you said, you know, playing quote unquote normally as a baby or as a young kid, it's hard to tell sometimes what's normal and what's not normal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, we had one mom wrote in, you know, she says, you know, what she doesn't understand is how society accepts illness as the norm. She said when she was a kid, she didn't recall one child in her school with autism or ASD or any psychiatric labeled over medicated disorders. Okay. She uh-huh. says, now it's so damn prevalent that society just accepts that their children are chronically ill or have learning disorders or neurologic disorders, and that's just the way life goes. Right. And then she says, all of a sudden, the human species are spewing physically disabled, developmentally disabled, chronically ill offspring. She goes, I don't think so. She says, wake up. She says, realize that children's conditions today are tribute to the pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, so here goes, you know, another extreme. You know, she goes, she's sorry, but she's absolute. This is not normal. She says, we're the highest vaccinated country in America. They have the most disease, chronic illness, and disabilities. And maybe if the parents, you know, wake up and wait a minute, something just doesn't end up and actually start paying attention, it could, you know, nip this crap, she says. She says it's like, you know, she's our children's bodies are being polluted. Parents are actually believe that they're doing their child's health a favor by vaccinating and blah, 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 and all this stuff. So, I mean, you know, there goes there. This whole discussion stirs all this stuff back up again.
Yeah.
You know, we had the whole thing with Generation Rescue and Jenny McCarthy and, you know, all these things now become popular again. And you figure this was years ago.
This in the community, you know, between the two. There's such a divide, too,
this is
on
a problem.
On that issue.
And I hate that. I hate the division of anything.
Exactly. It is, and there are. I think there are valid points to both sides, you know.
No,
and
there is.
You know, yeah. So it's hard.
I mean, what's great is I'm like a personal friend of Dr. Stephen Shores. I actually got a chance to work with him at a couple of conferences that I was a keynote speaker with. And, you know, I got to attend, you know, some of his sessions, and it's phenomenal because he really can explain what it's like to be autistic and have autism uh-huh. as well. Because when he was a young baby, he was nonverbal, you know. Uh-huh. So he did have that issue as a kid, but somehow overcame that. Uh-huh. Now, I don't know why it is if some kids are nonverbal and then all of a sudden become verbal. It's weird how some do and some don't. So the thing is, you know, hopefully someone like him can help you and me and our child, you know, for the future, because they're the ones that hopefully are leading the way of helping us understand more what autism is about and how we can, you know, help our children, you know, be productive in this world, you know.
Well, I think what's interesting, and like you had mentioned Temple Grandin, but I also became friends with a lot of people who are high-functioning, older, you know, older people who have, not older, but I mean adults who have Asperger's, who have helped me to understand how my son's mind might work, because their mind works in a similar fashion. So, like, it's really, we can learn so much from each other if we work as a team, like you said. Because I found so many, not only, like I said, I used to say a lot of the moms taught me a lot of things, which is true also. Mothers of kids with autism or primary caretakers have taught me so much. But there's also another whole group of population that helped me, who were actual people who had read, you know, when I was writing, who had Asperger's, who would help me understand, you know, why my son was acting a certain way, or what could be bothering him, or how he was thinking. And it was really helpful. It was like an insight into his mind, you know. So we can learn so much from those people, if we act, like I said. And I think that person brought up a good point. You know, you're saying too. We all have to work together to as a society. We shouldn't be fighting with each other. But I think this is you know, life in general. People just fight in general over stupid things.
Right.
But you know, we need to work together as a group of people and say, look, what is going on here? Why is this happening? Why are they being diagnosed so much? And instead of blaming this or that or the other, there's no one section to blame, you know.
No, there's not one right or wrong side. I think that's what
exactly,
it comes down
that's
to.
That's what I'm saying, right.
And that's the big point here, is that we really need to come together as a community, work together. I mean, I just try to do that here on Autism Radio, is listen to the voice on both sides of the story and hopefully, you know, work together. You know, I was never afraid to work with anybody else. A lot of other organizations didn't want to specifically work with us because they want to have their own agenda and their own things, whether it's pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, or this or that or whatever it might be. You know, they divided themselves and they wanted it that way. And you know, that's fine, but it's also hurtful because it's hurting everybody.
Right.
It's not helping. And I think if we all kind of take all the facts together and work together, we can really do a lot to help. You know, I think maybe even the numbers, you know, lessen as time goes by, or also the kids that are being diagnosed, is get them the proper help so that, you know, they can be mainstream one day, you know.
Right.
And
right.
Find out what we can do to help them, you know, whether, I mean, some of these kids too, you know, they say, you know, they've been through some say viral, you know, things going on, and, you know, their immune system is affected and it affected their brains. And once they, you know, addressed the immune system, you know, now all of a sudden the brain was functioning better,
right,
and the kids got better. So there's got to be something to this, too, I think.
There is. There's a connection.
For sure, there is a gut connection, and there's also,
yeah,
an immune system. And,
yeah,
genetic, of course, and environmental, and all these things do definitely have a play. There's definitely,
yeah,
something going on. You know, it's true, Lynn. I mean, definitely, you know, the industry definitely needs to be regulated better, for sure. And, of course, we'll be following this story with the CDC. And where we go, because like I said, there's a lot of families that got stirred up by this article. So,
right,
we'll have to pick it up where it left off. And, you know, we're trying to do something to make a difference. So that's the most important thing.
Right.
Want to talk about the holidays as we're getting ready for the holidays. And I'm actually going to play a little clip for you here. This is it's a great story. We're going to be having an outing for Autism Radio. It's a great Christmas story. It's going to be a musical at the Paper Mill Playhouse. Be sure to come out and join us at the Paper Mill Playhouse. A Christmas Story, it's a musical. It's on Tuesday, December the 29th at 1:30 p.m. And we're going to have Team Hope joining us. This is a great story, Lynn. It's really a Christmas classic. So be sure to join us on December 29th. Couldn't help it. I love that clip for everybody. It's available on autismradio.org. You can see the little clip, Christmas Story the Musical. It's an autism-friendly performance. It's going to be on the main stage. They had a production last year that we were a part of. We did Elf last year. in 2014. And then there was Disney's Little Mermaid in 2013. The theater environment's going to be altered for the performance, providing a sensory-friendly, comfortable, judgment-free space that's welcoming to all families. And the performance itself will be adjusted with special attention paid to lighting and sound. The autism performance for A Christmas Story. It's a musical planned in cooperation with the Paper Mill Playhouse Autism Advisory Team. So we're really looking forward to that on December the 29th at 1:30 to be a part of that. Team Hope from Autism Radio will be there. We've got about 110 people attending, so we're pretty excited about that. We still have a few free tickets to give away. So if you want to call in the show at 1-877-HOPE-777, we'd like to give away some free tickets. So, and on that note, Lynn, we have a few minutes here to talk a little bit about getting ready for the holidays, of course, as we always like to do. And I know you always have some great tips for us.
I have some great tips for you guys. I think that it's important to include your autistic child with whatever your family traditions are, no matter whether they understand or they don't understand. I think it's always something, if you do it every year, eventually they're going to get it. So don't get discouraged and don't leave them out. And make sure they understand the word present. I know with my son, I used to sign to him the word present, and eventually he got it. So never, ever give up. That stuff coming from the severe side, I don't, you know, obviously the high-functioning side, maybe you want to, again, warn the relatives. They may not say appropriate things at appropriate times, but, you know, they need to be accepted as the way they are, and that's who they are, and they should be included in the family traditions, whatever that may be.
No, that's for sure, Lynn, for sure. And, you know, we want to hear from the families about what you're doing to get ready for the holidays, of course. And you can email us at questions@autismradio.org. Also use the toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. I want to quickly do this quick recipe. It's a gluten-free gingerbread recipe, which is great for the holidays. So if you want to make some nice gingerbread man for your kids and they're on a gluten-free diet, I'm going to give you this quick recipe. I'm going to go through it. You're going to start with 1 cup of superfine brown rice flour, 1 cup of arrowroot starch, 2 teaspoons of ground ginger. You can use 1 teaspoon if you don't like the heavy ginger taste, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of gar gum, 1/2 cup of dark unsulfured molasses, 1/4 cup of confectionery sugar, 1/4 cup of softened whole butter, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract. You can get some extra rice flour. Obviously, you're going to be using that to dust when you roll and cut out your cookies. You can make a royal icing. There's tons of recipes for that. I'll actually post that on the autismradio.org website. And you can also do a chocolate buttercream frosting as well, which I'll have the recipe as well on the website. But just real quick to go over it, you're going to preheat your oven at 350 degrees. Use a large baking sheet with some parchment paper, lightly greased so it doesn't stick. Take all your dry ingredients. Make sure you sift them, okay? And then you want to cream your butter and sugar, beating it on high speed for 3 to 5 minutes until it's light and fluffy. You're going to add the molasses and the vanilla and beat it until it's combined. Slowly add all your dry ingredients, all your sifted ingredients to your butter mixture, and just beat it until you have a nice stiff dough, okay? And what you're going to do is you're going to place the dough between 2 sheets of plastic wrap that's lightly dusted with the sweet rice flour, and you're going to roll it out to about 1/8 of an inch thick. And if you're not sure what 1/8 of an inch, you can just pull out a ruler and you can measure it. And you could always make it a little thicker, but you know that's going to affect obviously the baking of the cookie. So you really want to try to keep it at 1/8 of an inch. You're going to dip the gingerbread cookie cutter in the sweet rice flour to cut out your gingerbread man. It prevents him from sticking to the cookie cutter, and you're going to use a flour dusted spatula to transfer the cookies over to the baking sheet. If the dough gets too soft while you're working with it, just put it in the freezer for about 5 minutes, okay? And you want to bake it for about 10 minutes in your preheated oven until the cookies are nice and firm to the touch, and then you cool them down and you can decorate it with your royal icing and your chocolate buttercream frosting or anything you want to do with your cookies. So hopefully that is a nice little recipe as we're getting ready for the holidays. So hopefully that'll help.
Yummy.
Yeah, I love gingerbread, you know. Like I said, it's a great recipe. You know, there's a lot of kids that are on dietary restrictions, gluten-free diets, so it helps. And a lot of parents are always looking for good recipes, and it's a good proven recipe that's been used for many years now and works very well I don't usually use it for my gingerbread village because it's a little more expensive, obviously, some of those ingredients, but they make really, really good gingerbread man cookies. So I recommend that. So, but, you know, we're getting ready for the holidays. And, of course, you know, everybody is struggling and running around trying to get ready. And there's a lot of pressure on everybody. And we feel your pressure. So, you know what? If you want to vent, Autism Radio is a great place to come and vent, you know. If you're stressed out, write us. We'll write you back or call in. Call in the show at 1-877-HOPE-777, and we can be here for you and be a little bit of a life coach for you if you're struggling through the holidays. This is always a tough time of the year for many, many people, for sure. So we want everybody to have a good holiday as we get closer. And sure, we'll cover a little bit more next week on next week's show about getting ready for the holidays as well, because I know a lot of people like to talk about this topic, and we get tons and tons of emails from you guys out there every week. So we thank you for that, for sure. But, you know, we're getting ready, Lynn, and getting excited for the new year to bring some new excitement here at Autism Radio. We have a couple big meetings coming up before the end of the year to have some big news for everybody out there and some great things coming your way. So also, don't forget to donate at autismradio.org. You can really make a difference in a family's life. It's coming close to the end of the year. It's a great way to give back. You know, give what you can. You know, people, I always say, you know, if you give a dollar, give a dollar. You know, if that's all you can do. You know, every dollar does not go to waste. It gets to good use for a family that's in need, to our programs, and a lot of our kids. So it's a great way to give back to the autism community. So please help us out. We're asking for your support. So, and we want to thank, obviously, all our listeners, as always, Lynn, for the continued support here on the program on Autism Radio. And wish everybody a great week, as always. Until next time, everybody. Hope saves the day. Good night, everybody.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. Remember, hope saves the day. I want to show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me, yeah. Then you are right by my side. I will love you to the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be